Welcome to Corrittles. This week, asking your manager for help, chapter one, when, part two. The questions this cast answers are, when should I ask my manager for help? When is too soon to ask for help? And who else can I ask for help? On July 25th and 26th, we will be in Charlotte, North Carolina for our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. When I looked up the dates for these conferences, I happened to see a testimonial on our sales page that says, "Your tools have given me a clear vision for how I should be interacting with my directs and how to roll out unfamiliar territory to them. Manager Tools sets an incredible standard." Well, if that's what Katie Rowland says, I guess it must be true. She attended one of our conferences last year, and I'm sure you would have the same experience in Charlotte. And if Charlotte isn't a good location for you, please go to our website and look for training in the navigation bar. We are all over the US and all over the world, and we're sure to have a location that will work for you. Last week, we talked about some of the things to do before you ask for help, and this week, we're going to continue that conversation and then some of the signs that you waited too long.
Next would be check your manager's availability. If you don't believe that issue is urgent and your manager has something else going on that's more important, you might want to wait. However, it's really important to remember that part of your manager's job is to help you. They are a resource for you. In fact, they might have done part of your job before they got promoted, right? Mm-hmm. They are a resource. They're here to help you. Their job is not just to decide what tasks, and it's definitely not to just punish you for mistakes. Mm-hmm. In fact, the managers that I have met along the way would prefer not to have to punish for mistakes. And they don't. They don't want to punish. Nobody likes to be punished, actually. And no one wants to make mistakes. And they surely don't do it on purpose. So we want to avoid those mistakes. And the earlier we can get to them, the less of a mistake it is. Now, managers would much rather praise you for doing things right in order to teach you. So check their availability. Know what's going on with them. Try not to wait if they have a time slot, but you can, and get ahead of what could be a mistake. We can try to avoid it. We don't do anything on purpose, right? We're not out to ruin anyone's day.
No.
I promise you.
No. And the manager's job is to help the company achieve its objectives. And in order to do that, they have to help the individuals achieve their objectives. And that means taking away obstacles that are in the way of each member of the team achieving those objectives. And that means helping each member of the team when they're stuck with something. And that means it could be stuck with a problem of, I don't know how to code this. It can be, I don't know how to talk to this customer. It can be, I don't know how to talk to this person who I'm working with. It could be, I don't know how to save this PowerPoint file so that it does the right thing. It could be anything, but you're manager's job is to take those roadblocks away from you. And sometimes they're the right resource, and sometimes they will send you to the right resource. Sometimes they are the person that can solve the problem for you, and sometimes they send you to the right person, or they send you to, I don't know, some documentation or something. And sometimes they give you a way to solve the problem yourself, but their job is to help you.
Honestly, our managers know who to go to for help, right? They have more of a network than the more junior level. So ask your managers for help. They want to help you, and it's part of their job. Now, we've talked a lot about when asking for help. We've implied that up until now, it's mostly work-based, those task-based, meaning all those things that you have to do. Now, asking for help can also be relationship-based. You can ask your managers for help with building relationships with your peers or knowing which relationships are important to build. You can ask for help with dealing with somebody else, right? They might have more insight to what's going on with them. And you can ask for help with, again, your peers, maybe different project managers that you want to talk to, helping build that relationship. Or if you have a conflict, there's always office conflict. Mm-hmm. And your managers can absolutely help you dealing with those more internal conflicts.
Mm-hmm. There's always a person in the office who does not like 8 o'clock meetings. There's always a person that you can set an 8 o'clock meeting and that meeting will not go well. And your manager might know that, you know? And it's a simple thing. You know, just moving that meeting from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock will give it so much more of a, so much a higher chance of a better outcome. And it's a simple thing. And you don't know that when you first go to work. You're like, we have to start at 8. Why don't we have 8 o'clock meetings?
Well, because no one's had time for their coffee. Exactly. That's why you don't have that 8 o'clock meeting. Exactly. And managers can also help you how to approach a situation, right? When you're new to a company or within a job, you might not have that confidence yet to approach situations a certain way. And they can help you walk through that. They can maybe even practice with how to approach a situation. That's just another way or another thing that you can ask for help. It's not just about tasks at work because we work with people, right? So it can be all about the relationships as well.
I remember being very, very young. Oh, I must have been, I don't know, 25, I guess, which seems very young now. And I told my manager I was going to a meeting in another building, which was about 100 miles away. And I said, I'm going down to meet procurement. And she said, why? And I said, because they invited me. And she said, Wendy, why are you going to that meeting? And I said, because they sent me an invite. And she said, Wendy, why are you going to that meeting? And I, because they sent me an invite. And she said, no, you're saying the same words. That's not an answer. And it wasn't until that moment, until she explained it to me. And you don't go to meetings just because people invite you. And we had to have this conversation. And it had never occurred to me that there needed to be a reason for me to spend that time. And it wasn't just because someone invited me. And we have a podcast now, which is why you go to meetings. But those things, when you're beginning in the workforce, you don't have, it's a party. Someone invited me. I'm going. You don't realize that people invite you for different reasons. They invite you because you're on the team and it's protocol to invite you, but they don't actually expect you to come. Or they invite you because your team, someone from your team has to be invited, but they don't, you're not supposed to go or whatever. There's reasons things happen, but there's politics involved or there's all sorts of other things going on. And your manager is a really good resource for knowing what those things are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the last one of these, prepared your request. Before you meet with your manager, think through the problem and at a minimum, write down for yourself the problem, the steps you've taken to solve it, a solution you might think might work if you have one, and why you need their help now.
If there are numbers, facts, and people involved, make sure you have those too. When you're preparing yourself, make sure you have as much detail as possible. For example, your manager might want to know how frequently the problem is occurring, especially with IT. IT really likes to know how often something is occurring, or maybe if it's just a one-off, right? It indicates how widespread a problem might be and whether how to approach a situation as well, or whether it's a permanent system change, again, or if it's a quick fix, something that might not happen again, and how much time that they want to allocate to it. So give as much information as you have.
And what you're writing down is really a lot of what we've already talked about, what you've already thought through at the beginning, when you tried to describe the problem, when you've thought through other solutions, when you've tried to think about actions and so on. But you can guarantee when you start to talk to your manager about a problem, she will ask you for a detail that jumped right out of your head. Always. I don't know what happens, but somebody asked me the other day, we were having a conversation and they said, well, how many people have this product? And I said, I want to say 51, which sounds very precise. And I have no idea where I got that number from. I know Alex and I discussed it, whether it's 51 or 501, I have no idea, but it just left my head. And it could be 51, it could be 501, but I had nothing to know whether or not that number that was coming in my head was true or not. And so I couldn't say it for real. And that's what happens when you go into meetings. So having it written down, and not just the number, but write down next to it what it is. So I do that too. I write down numbers and then I've got written down 51, but what that number pertains to, no idea. So, there you go.
Yeah, I've done that a few times too.
Learn from my mistakes, which is basically what this podcast is.
Yeah.
So that's all the things that you would do before you ask for help. And now we're going to tell you these ask for help before these things happen. So if any of the things that we talk about now have happened, you waited too long to ask for help. And the first one of those we already alluded to, your boss comes to you.
Now, if your boss coming to you because they found out that there's a problem from one of your peers or his peer or his boss, even worse, a customer, that's never going to end well for you. If you have gone to someone else for help, a more senior person in the team or a supervisor or a team lead that's between you and your boss, and that person decided they needed help, that's okay. So really, if you've asked for help from someone first, and maybe it didn't get back to your boss and they come to you, but you've already taken those steps, that is significantly better than your boss not having any idea and coming to you because he found out or they found out that there was a problem. So in general, your boss should find out about the problems from you. Even if you go ask for help from someone else, give that heads up to your boss, right? I'm searching out this problem. So they don't find out around the water cooler, as they say.
Yeah, because even if you go to another department to ask for help, let's say you have a problem with your computer and it's not working, and you think, I've got a buddy in IT who deals with these things. I'm just going to walk down there and I'm going to get him to just reboot the thingamajigs and reformat the whatchamacallit. And you go down there and you're down there for an hour and your buddy is messing with the thingamajigs and the whatchamacallit. And your buddy's boss finds out that's what he was doing. And then the next time your buddy's boss and your boss are in a meeting, your buddy's boss says to your boss, hey, stop sending your people just down. There's a process, you know. You can't just be using my people's time. And then your boss comes back to you and says, why am I getting in trouble for you not following a process? That's how you get in trouble. So you cannot follow the process and use your buddy's time if you say to your boss, hey, I got a problem with my computer. I got a buddy in IT. I'm just going to go down there and see if he'll fix it for me. And your boss at that point can say, please don't do that. There's a resource thing going on. Everybody's got to follow the process. I know it's a pain, but just don't do that. It's just going to cause more trouble than it's worth. Or they can say, that's fine. Jim over there is my best mate. It'll be fine. But that's how you get in trouble for something that doesn't seem like a big deal because it's your mate in IT. And that's how you get in trouble when your boss finds out the wrong way.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So anytime your boss finds out from someone else, that indicates there's a problem in communication between you and your boss. And the one person you do not want to have a problem with communication with in an organization is your boss. Because if your boss feels like he can't trust you, he will start micromanaging you. And if you've never been micromanaged, you never want to be. And if you have, you know you don't want to be.
You sure don't want to start now. Now, the next thing is you miss a deadline. If you miss a deadline because you didn't know what to do, or you couldn't solve the problem, or maybe you just waited too long to ask for help, that's going to be a problem, right? In organizations, deadlines exist so projects can be completed, achieved in scope, on time, and on budget. We understand that, yes, deadlines can be missed. And managers want to know ahead of missed deadlines. So they should not be the one informing you that you missed a deadline. It might seem like a small thing if a deadline passes and you don't say anything, but the reason projects are delayed for years and sometimes decades, it's because those tiny, minuscule tasks with those deadlines that are maybe a day out or two or missed by that much time, it really adds up. It can have a huge impact over time. So they might seem inconsequential now, but when you put them all together, that's why your boss ends up in your office for missed deadlines. Because even though they're small, they can be mighty.
Right. And we're not going to say like you missing a deadline of a day, you know, where your project, your task is, you know, the length of the task is a day and you miss it by a day, that the whole project's going to be delayed by a year, that that's probably not going to be happening. But deadlines are important, and missing deadlines and just getting into the habit of missing deadlines and not taking them seriously is just a bad habit to be in. And not asking for help or flagging that you're going to miss the deadline is just a slippery slope as far as professionalism goes. It's a bad habit to be in at the beginning of your career, and it's one that's really hard to come back from. It's like if you're perpetually late, it's really hard to come back to being the kind of person that's on time or early when you've got into the habit of not worrying about time.
And I want to circle this back to your manager's here to help. If you know you're going to miss a deadline, give them a heads up. They might have resources to help you.
Yes.
That makes that impact a lot less. So communicate that.
Are you ready to grow your career and perhaps move to the next level? At last year's M conference, Rhonda Hurl cautioned us to find a solid base first. Otherwise, the tough times that are sure to come might knock you down. Before you make the move, find out from Rhonda how to get your solid base and find the source of your energy. Because fortunately for you, you can watch that speech as part of our Executive Outlook video series. During this summer, while everyone else is kicking back, you can be getting ready to move up. Find out Rhonda's secrets at manager-tools.com. Look for Executive Outlook videos in the drop-down menu. So the next one is your quality of work suffers. So work, as in the work you do, consists of five behaviors: the quality of your work, the quantity of your work, accuracy, timeliness, and where applicable, safety. So quality is one of those big five. And we've already talked about timeliness, which was one of the big five. And quality is equally important, that you can be late with work and it be of great quality and it's useless. It can be on time and be bad quality and it's equally useless. So, you know, it doesn't matter which way you go on either of those. Good work has to be both. It has to be timely and of good quality. And if you are not asking for help and you're missing one or the other, you're doing the wrong thing. Ask for help.
And substandard work costs us more time in the long run, having to redo it.
Absolutely.
This kind of slides right into there's a negative impact on the team. If your unresolved issue is affecting other team members, either their work, their morale, or your relationship with them, you may need to be asking for help. Say you don't know what to do and your quality of work is suffering, someone else on your team might have to redo your work, which costs them time and doesn't leave a good taste in their mouth, right? If they're always having to fix your mistakes because you refuse to ask for help, that's really going to impact your relationship. And we all know how important relationships are, not only with our managers, but with our peers. And they're really good resources to ask for help too, right? Our peers know a lot, especially if they've been on the job longer. So we don't want to have that negative impact within our team or with our peers.
The next one is you get stressed. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or burnt out due to a persistent issue that you can't resolve, then ask for help. And especially early in your career, it's easy to get what later you will consider to be a small problem blown out of all proportion. And they are often easy fixes for things that we considered roadblocks in our first 5 or 10 years of work that someone with more experience can give you. That same manager who told me that I shouldn't go to meetings just because someone invited me said to me one day, "Wendy, when there's one thing out of control, you feel like everything's out of control." And 100 years later, I was sitting here this morning and stressing out about something. And that was the one thing I remembered. There was one thing that was out of control and everything felt like it was out of control. And that's just what my brain does. And she was right. And she still is right. And I remember that every time that happens. And it's like, she was right. I don't need to be stressed about this. It was just that she could see it and I couldn't, and I still can't, apparently. And often someone else can see something that you can't.
Yeah, I've had that feeling too, where one thing is causing you a lot of stress, but it feels like everything. And then people are like, "Oh, what is wrong? What's causing you stress?" And you have one thing, you're like, Oh, that does not sound as bad. Right? But we've all been there, especially early in our careers, of those things that went wrong or those mistakes that we made that seem so big. And you look back 5, 10 years later and you're like, oh, I'm a pro now.
Yeah.
That takes me no time at all.
Right. And a lot of times people have a solution and they don't even think about telling you it because they absorbed it into their DNA so long ago that they don't even think, they don't know that they're doing it. And it's not that they're hiding it from you. It's literally they've forgotten that they know it. So a couple of weeks ago, I sent out a note and it had something about distros in it. And one of our other people who work at Manager Tools said, Wendy, I don't know what a distro is. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know what a distro is? And she's way younger than I am. So for everyone who doesn't know what a distro is, a million years ago when everything was hard copy, so like printed magazines and printed emails and memos, not printed, typed. When everybody had to see the memo, they would staple a list of the team's names on it. Like, so they would get the team, like Rob, Bob, Joe, Bill, and they'd put that list on and they'd staple it to the front. And then as when Bill read it, he would check off his name. And then when Joe read it, he would check off his name. And that's how you knew that everybody had read it. And that was called a distro. And then when email came along, you could set your email so that you could write team and it would write Bob, Joe, Bill, apparently all the same people working in the team. And so it was the same as attaching that piece of stapled paper to a memo. And so it was still called a distro. And so when I go to my email, I type team and it writes all of the Manager Tools team and it just goes out to the team. And I showed her this and she says, oh my gosh, I didn't know you could do that. Well, I've been doing that since email was invented because I'm that old. And she's never known email not to exist. And so she didn't know it existed. And it wasn't that I hid it from her. I didn't know that nobody taught people that that existed. And it was a simple solution and it saves a bunch of time. Yeah, I set mine up 15 years ago when Managed Tools was started and I change it every time someone comes or goes. And I never think to tell anybody because I don't know. It's just part of my DNA.
You just assume that everyone knows.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it started from something that, from email, before email,
mm-hmm.
right? And it has evolved. And we all know with technology, it changes faster than anyone can keep up with. But the history of the efficiencies, I still think, exist,
mm-hmm.
right? You know how to do the distribution list on paper and email, right? And then one day that's going to be outdated and will turn into something else.
Exactly. Right? Yes. And one day, all the people that remember stapling those lists to magazines and memos will be dead and nobody will know why it was called a distro.
Yeah. And it's almost like the beginning of a thread. So you knew who actually read it before you.
Yes.
Right? A good way to get information that we don't even know why we have it today, but that's why. So next would be persistent confusion. If you are continuously unsure about how to proceed with a task or project, even after conducting your own research or attempts at troubleshooting, you need to ask for help. And if you have run through it again and again, and I know the feeling because I do this quite often, you're still confused. You're not sure why, and you're hesitant to ask for help. Ask for help. There are people that will help you, especially if you've put in the effort first. You're not supposed to know everything. And, you know, if you were a team of one, maybe you should know everything, but that's not how most companies work or teams. So the reason companies and organizations exist is so that we can work together. One person can't do everything. And if you're newer to the job within the career, no one expects you to. So if you put forth the effort and you're still confused, even though you're going to get that simple solution back most of the time, because everyone is more knowledgeable and that's okay. Ask for help. Again, you can't do everything. You can't know everything and you're not supposed to. So it's expected. And the people around you expect you to ask for help. In my experience, they're happy to help.
Exactly. Asking for help seems like a simple thing, but it's fraught with questions when you're new to the workforce. When is too early and when is too late? Are you allowed to ask about this little tiny thing? And we hope that we've given you some confidence. If there's anything that you can't ask your manager, you can ask us. customerservice@manager-tools.com, and we will happily answer your questions. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with another topic. Bye, everyone.